Welcome back to another episode of the Psyche Behind the Physique, listeners. I'm your host, Maddie Michelson, IFBB Bikini Pro and founder of the Empowered Coaching Collective. And I'm joined today with my very own athlete, Haley Morphin, to discuss a really pressing and relevant topic I'd like to call delaying our ability to show up. So today's episode is for high achieving women, maybe that woman who's constantly saying, I'll focus on me when the travel slows down, when work lightens up, when the kids are back in school, or when the timing is perfect. So today we're going to unpack how to stop being a victim of your circumstances and start becoming the leader of your life, even when things are messy, busy, or uncertain. So, Haley, would you take just a minute or two and tell me a little bit about yourself? Obviously, we're working together, but tell our audience just what you do, and who your identity is outside of bodybuilding.
Yeah, so I've been an athlete my whole life. So bodybuilding was kind of just something I'd always wanted to dip my toe into. So I was lucky enough to play collegiate sports in college. And after that ended, I didn't really know what to do with myself, right? I was looking for another athletic outlet. And I didn't have any coaches pushing me to, 6 a.m. workouts, any of that anymore. So I was a little bit lost for about a year. I didn't really know what to do. And I just turned back into the gym. That's always been something I'd loved. And it really ignited a passion. And I have never looked back. And always wanted to do bodybuilding and gave it a shot last year. And now it's who I am. So.
I think a lot of people have stories like that, like where it's like just kind of a loss of direction after sports. And bodybuilding is a great segue from that. Now, outside of the sport of bodybuilding, you are obviously not always in control of your schedule. You are a high performer and you are always busy. So tell our audience, what do you do for a living? You know, when your time isn't in the gym, where are you spending your time?
Yeah, so I work for a med tech startup company here in Silicon Valley. We are a very small company, so I wear a lot of hats and I have to travel quite a bit for my job recently, more than in the past. So as you know, these past like 3 or 4 months, I've just been traveling like nonstop. So I've really had to find ways to adjust. But yeah, so spending a lot of time at work. My husband and I have two little puppies, so we spend a lot of time with them as well, and friends and family. So very busy, busy life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, not to minimize your situation, but I work with a lot of women who are high achievers and busy and high performers. And I think there's a lot of women out there who probably are listening to this podcast, and whether it's that they want to venture into competing or whether it's just that they have this weight loss goal, right? There is that enticing notion of I'll pause when life gets easier. So I think it's important, and I want our audience to know why we're having this conversation now. Right now is when we have a lot of girls that are going into off seasons. Right now is also summer, so we have a lot of working moms that are saying, I'll focus on myself when the kids go back to school. Or women that are saying, I've got all these trips planned, so maybe once I get back from vacation. Or athletes who are in their off season and they're genuinely just losing that off season progress because they're not locking in. And instead, they're locked in only when it's convenient or when it's easy. So one of the initial topics that I want to cover with you, Haley, is something that you have demonstrated so beautifully. I can honestly say that I feel like you've mastered this. And that is the art of taking control when you have it. And I think one of the things that people confuse a lot of times when they're out, when they don't necessarily have control, is that in order to demonstrate extreme ownership, it's going to take extreme effort. And so a lot of times we just don't even do it, right? But it's not about the effort per se. In fact, when you have the right systems in place, all it takes is being intentional. And so something that you and I think have really worked together to establish is creating structure in the pockets of time where the control exists. I think that can manifest itself in different ways, right? When you're on a work trip, you and I seek out ways for you to have control that probably look very different than having control when you're home. So, question for you here. When you're on a work trip, how has your mindset shifted? And what sorts of things are you now seeking to take control over? Because previously it was, if I can't get all my regular meals and all my workouts in, then I'm just on the trip and I'll lock back in when I get home. So how has that shifted for you?
Yeah, and that's exactly how I used to be, right? I mean, you helped me realize that I really was priming myself for failure because I would get so stressed out about, oh my gosh, I have this work trip and I don't have my food, I don't have my gym, I don't have, my supplements with me. I'm just gonna fall off. And so those first few work trips were kind of rough, right? Because I just was like so stressed. But we've really been able to lock in and find ways for me to control what I can control on these trips, which is for me, it's bringing snacks, always having snacks. It's on these work trips specifically for me, there's no time for food ever. And a lot of the people I work with, are not in the fitness industry. So they're okay skipping lunch or not having breakfast or something. And I can't do that. I need food to survive. So it's packing snacks, it's making sure I'm getting all my steps in, all my water in, prioritizing my sleep. That's a big one for me. So it's really helped change my mindset to focus on those things that I know I can control. And, if a meeting runs over and I miss lunch, I have my snacks, I have my water, like I'm okay. And it just is that mental shift for me that just because I don't have those things that I have at home doesn't mean I can't still work and be successful and hit my fitness goals. So that's been
And
really.
I think you hit on something there that I don't even know if you recognize you hit on. And that was that the people at work might not be doing the same things as you, right? And I think that this is where a lot of times people get almost like stifled in the process of even uncovering where do I have control when I'm out of my norm. And I do believe that gaining that control starts with going inward, right? It starts with becoming self-aware and asking ourselves the question of what do I actually need right now to support long-term progress? Because when you actually focus and emphasize that word actually, you realize you don't need every single food that you have and staple item that you have at home. You don't need your home gym, although that would be lovely, right? These are luxuries. And there's things that are foundational components of success: sleep, water, eating at regular intervals throughout the day, even if that sometimes it's a protein bar to stabilize blood sugar. These things are really our lifeline. And I also think that chaos as a whole is a very like disturbing idea, right? We go on vacation, we go to our kid has a, and I know neither you and I don't have kids, but you could imagine a busy mom that is going to kids' sporting events. It can seem like you're powerless, but just because the situation is less than ideal doesn't mean that you don't have power. A busy mom, for example, I work with one right now who used to just sort of wing it. And instead of winging it now, she knows what restaurants her kids are going to want to go to after practice. There's only five in her town. So she knows now she can peruse the menus, right, and figure out what she's going to be eating when she modifies her restaurant order. She's not waiting for perfect conditions. You on a work trip, right? You're reviewing menus with me. If you know what your work trip is going to be serving or where you're going to be going, you're planning ahead. Maybe at some trips, you're packing and freezing meals and bringing those with you. There are areas where you can regain that control. I also think, too, and I want to cover this before we move on to our next topic, rest and recovery, because a lot of times we're looking for ways to do the fitness stuff, but we neglect the fact that sometimes regaining that control, especially on the home front, when you get back, looks like actually doing the opposite from what our minds want to do. I like to say that control doesn't always mean doing more. Sometimes it's not about doubling down on training, right? When you used to say, oh, I'll do a two a day, it's not about micromanaging in that way or pushing your body to an extreme. Sometimes control looks like pulling back. So, when you're home in routine, Haley, how has your mindset shifted from needing to grind to simply being intentional with your energy?
Yeah, that's something that used to be a really big thing for me is if I were on a work trip or I missed a few days in the gym, I'd come back and immediately just have to grind myself to the bone to try to make up for the time that I lost. And I didn't realize that that was really setting myself up for failure because my body needed time to adjust to recover. And so that's something that we've really worked on is with these work trips, just recovering, not taking the first day back and going straight back into the gym and sacrificing sleep or, just giving my body time to rest and recover. And I've noticed that when I do that, I sleep in the next day or I stretch or go on long walks or something. I'm not as stressed. I'm not as anxious as I would have been had I just gone straight to the gym on 4 hours of sleep, and no water and all of that. It's so important for my body specifically that I need to sleep, I need to rest, I need to stretch, drink my water, all those things, more so than the lift, which of course lifting is important, right? But it's not the whole goal. There's so much more to it than just lifting. And
Absolutely.
that's something that I'm working with you, I've learned about myself.
Yeah, well, because it's so easy. Like I said, being a high achiever, Haley, it's like we almost objectify our own bodies, right? It's like, oh, well, like it's like an out of body experience. You get back from a trip and you're like, okay, Maddie, do the thing, go do the legs. And we forget like our body is a being and we are it and it is us and we have to treat it that way. So as we wrap up this first topic, I think something I want to leave our listeners with is that control is not binary. So you don't need to have all the control, you just need to have some. And a question that you can ask yourself is, what is the most aligned decision that I can make today, given my circumstances? It doesn't need to, you don't need to think about tomorrow, you don't need to think about the next work trip. Be in the moment and ask yourself today what feels aligned. Now, something that we touched on as we first introduced our podcast together was your schedule. Your schedule is busy. That calendar is packed.
Big
Funny
time.
story, this little side note, Haley and I were actually supposed to record this podcast episode tomorrow. And I completely booked on the day and time, and I messaged her and I was like, hey, I can actually still do tomorrow if tomorrow would work for you. She's like, I'm actually flying out again. I'm going.
On
It's like, of
the
course.
go
So, Haley, something that you and I have worked to establish together, and I'm really proud of you for doing this as well, is, not seeing your busyness as a flaw and instead seeing your on the go, busy, constantly, doing something else as a fact of your season. I think so many women, so many moms, they all say things like, I'm just too busy right now, or I travel too much, or life is just crazy with the kids. But the truth is that being busy is not a personal failing. It's just your current context. The problem is not the pace, it is the belief that you can't be successful while life is fast. And if you're always waiting for a better time to show up and take care of yourself, Lord knows that I've learned this the hard way. You're signing yourself up for a life where your health is always going to be on the back burner. And, Haley, you've had seasons where travel or work were nonstop. I think we're kind of in one in some way, shape, or form. But the shift really came when you stopped fighting that your reality and you started working with it. So, how did you avoid the always moving, always traveling sort of identity? How did you avoid letting that become your excuse for inaction?
Well, I think a lot of it stems back to my just being an athlete. It's just like in my DNA. So when I have a goal, I'm gonna just do whatever I can to hit that goal to make it happen. So that's why I'm up every morning at 4 a.m. to get my workouts in because there's no other time for me to do it. And if I don't do it then, I'm not gonna do it. So when I'm traveling, it's the same thing. I have a goal in my head. We have a goal that we're working towards, and every single day I give it 100%. Trying to be 1% better to hit that goal. And especially in this season now where I'm traveling so much and it is my off season, I'm trying not to focus too much on the future. I'm trying to take it just one day at a time. What can I do today? that's going to serve me to hit that goal, that's going to help me hit that goal. And breaking it down like that has really helped me just focus in more on that goal. And some days sometimes I can't get to the gym, or some days I can't pack my lunch the night before. I mean, a
Sure.
perfect example is yesterday. My husband's best friend called at 11 a.m. and said, "I'm in town last minute. Let's go to a Giants game." I get a call from
Fun.
at work. "Hey, babe, like Cam wants to go to this game. You want to go to the game?" It's like a 4-hour notice. So in my head, initially, I will admit, I don't know if I want to go because I can't cook my dinner. I can't get ready for the gym in the morning. I can't make my lunch for the next day. Like all of these things in my routine that I would normally do at night. But I went and I came home from work. I made my lunch for the next day. I laid out my stuff for the gym within, an hour. I did what I had to do, and I made it to the game. Had my dinner on the way to the game. Just I've learned to adapt as I go, and not every day is going to be perfect, but as long as I'm doing what I can to hit that goal to make us successful, I'm happy.
That was a beautiful example and articulation of the very topic of owning our stuff instead of excusing it, right? Owning patterns is something that honestly, it sucks sometimes, right? It sucks to admit to yourself, yeah, you know what? I spend more time in the car than I do under a roof. Or, yes, I have a jam-packed calendar. Or, no, my house is not peaceful and quiet every single night. Excusing your patterns, though, while it sounds sexy, it's not going to get you far. You know, like telling yourself, I'm so busy, I'm so busy, I'm so busy, I can't do anything right now. I just can't. Like it feels constricting. It feels suffocating. And I almost envision, like I'm a very visual person and I hear that a lot, like with my friends. Like they'll kind of like spiral and panic, especially when it comes to making plans. And it's like, oh my gosh, I just have so much going on. I can't even. And it's like, if you were to just stop and own what's happening, you would find a way to make it work. But you're blowing this out of proportion for yourself and you're creating a literal sympathetic response, which is fight or flight, freeze. And all you have to do is stop and ask what systems or strategies actually work for this version of my life. You don't need to fit into a plan that's built for somebody else. You know, Haley, I work with women all the time, just like you. We work through this very thing, and it's establishing the very thing that you just said. It's, you know, women who are packing meals in Yeti coolers to go to their kids' tournaments, women who are going on work trips and freezing their meals, women who might get home from a Giants game and want to just hit the sack, but spend the extra 30 minutes laying out their gym clothes, knowing that that is a system that you need in order to be successful. It's not about, you know, telling yourself a narrative that is false. You just have to own the narrative that is yours, which is you're busy. You're also a wife. Your husband's got friends, and that's okay. I also think too, another thing for our listeners to understand is consistency doesn't always look so perfect, and that's the reality of it. Consistency does not, certainly doesn't equate to perfection. And personally, I believe that consistency means staying engaged when details shift. So, something that you probably had some experience with is kind of resetting the bar pretty regularly. I know that you've had trips where it's like you could do 80% of your routine, trips where you can do 10% of your routine, trips where you can do 95% of your routine. And I think that once we started exploring that question almost as like a way to prime you for a trip, which is what's the minimum standard that I can hit this week? And what's the maximum standard that I can hit this week? You stopped seeing your role as in your career and your role as a bodybuilder as mutually exclusive. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. They're almost siloed sometimes for, and so it's interesting because sometimes they're siloed, other times I have to work them in together, and that's just how I have to make it work sometimes. That's just not, it's not perfect every day. I mean, like I said, that's why I'm up at 4, because my work schedule is so crazy. There's no other time to do it. So I just have to integrate them together and make it work. And other times they're completely separate, and that works for me.
Yeah. I think it's so funny though, as you were talking about this and your systems, I was thinking to myself, it's so easy for us, like in the context of a relationship, right? To be like, oh, like yeah, like my partner, he doesn't eat healthy, but I do, right? And you like resent the relationship. But this also happens in our careers. Like, if you choose to separate, oh, I'm a nurse and I'm also a bodybuilder. You are never going to love and appreciate both equally. You will always find yourself, 40% loving bodybuilding, 60% hating your career, or vice versa, depending on which one is kind of taking your energy in that moment. And so I think, like I said, it's really, really, really important to not disengage, to not disengage from either one. And to recognize that your progress is only going to compound when you are reaching for that bar, and recognizing that that bar can shift depending on the season that you're in and depending on the environment that you're in, and being okay with that. And in so many ways, when you start seeing it this way, like we've discussed, you're not going to find that you're resenting choosing to compete. You're not going to find that you're resenting choosing this career that has you spread very thin. Instead, you're going to find yourself appreciative for your bandwidth and for the systems that you've established. And in some ways, like in a sick and twisted way, getting up at 4 a.m. probably feels really gratifying when you check in with me on Fridays and you look back at the week and go, you know what? I'm 5 for 5 on my training this week.
Yeah, 100% nailed it.
I think that closing out this topic, moving on to our third here, a question that I get asked a lot, Haley, is, what happens when, or not, it's not even a question, but it's the comment of, or the rebuttal of, I'm going to wait for school to start back up. I'm going to wait for me to finish training in my new role. I'm going to wait for him and I to move in with one another or to get married, right? But what happens, and this is the question that I have for those women, when it doesn't? Because the reality is, it never does. Like, I remember waiting for a prep and I was like, I'm going to wait till after Christmas. Okay, well, then it's the new year. Okay, but I want to celebrate New Year's, so I'll wait till after New Year's. Okay, now it's spring. Okay, I'll wait till after Easter. It was like, you're going to have to prep through one holiday or another, right? There is no perfect time. And so I think that, it's important to explore with curiosity, what we can do in order to create space for this goal that we have. So, when you go on a trip, for example, and you get back from a trip, something that you and I have worked really diligently on is exploring with curiosity what went well on this trip and what didn't go well. Because when we do that, I actually just got done reading the book, Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. And he references, it's called like an AAR or something like that in the Navy SEALs. And they do this when they fail. Now, I'm not saying that every single trip you've taken is an epic failure at all. It's certainly not. But we have to look back on it's almost like the Hansel and Gretel, like the little breadcrumbs that can be revealed to us in these experiences that we're going to have over and over and over due to our circumstances in our life, for clues as to what we need to continue doing and what we need to shift. And I think that in many ways, this question shifts us from a place of judgment to a place of curiosity. And instead of coming back from a work trip, Haley, and going, I messed up again, or I'm home, thank God. And, until the next one, FYI, it's in 6 days. Your curious response becomes, okay, what was hard? What threw me off? What's one thing that I can do differently next time? And in so many ways, it removes that emotional baggage from the equation. You're not labeling yourself as a failure anymore, and instead, you're collecting information. So, Haley, what is one thing that maybe you used to get frustrated with when life wasn't perfect, but now you approach with curiosity?
Oh gosh, so many aspects of life. There are so many things that I used to just stress over. I used to stress myself out over so many things, whether it be I overslept, I couldn't work out, or I didn't get all my steps in, or, a work project is stressing me out, anything like that. I used to be a massive stress ball, and we've really worked hard to help shift my mindset to the things that we've talked about, what I can control. And also setting up processes and systems in place, so when something doesn't go the way we planned, we have those to fall back on to get back into what we need to do to be successful. So that's a big thing that I've learned from getting back from my trips, which you just said, my next one was in 6 days. That is a real thing. That really happened. Back from my first work trip, 6 days later, I'm on to the next one. That's a 6 day work trip, So figuring out what I can control, what went well in the trip, what maybe didn't go so well, enacting those systems and processes that we've put in place to fix that for that next trip. So that way, the next trip, 6 days later, I'm set up for success as best as I can. That's been a
And I think
really
in so many ways too, it's realistic, right? Because there's always things that we could do better. It keeps us future focused instead of, harboring resentment and guilt and frustration for ourselves. And it's a gentle but productive way for us to redirect energy into growing. Progress does not always look, and you know this to be true, like hitting every single macro or every single workout or every single habit perfectly. Sometimes it's just a matter of doing a little bit better than last time. And Haley, when we shifted from seeing the glasses half empty, because we are so good at emotionally evaluating our choices, right? We're so good at getting back from a trip and saying, I fell off, I failed, I suck at this. That's what we quickly look at. It's no different than the woman who wakes up and she turns around and goes, oh, I see the cellulite on the back of my thighs, and fails to see her incredible guns, right? So we're so quick to see the glasses half full that sometimes we fail to recognize that we did a lot better than last time. And when you and I just shifted the needle, it's not that we were seeing the world through colored glasses, because we surely weren't, and we never will. But when we were realistic and escaped from that all or nothing mindset that tells us if you can't be perfect, it's not worth trying, we were able to make peace with partial progress and break that loop in order to allow consistency to build over time. Many trips, you didn't track perfectly, but you prioritized protein at every single feeding, right? You didn't skip lunch. You weren't waiting until dinner and justifying going out to Burger 21 with your work group because you didn't have a lunch break. Instead, there were micro wins in there for us to acknowledge. And this is what keeps people in the game long term, because life is going to get messy. Perfection is not sustainable, only progress is.
Yeah, and especially in this season of my life, not just off season, but just in life in general, like I have been just incredibly busy, more busier than I've ever been. So it's been so important for me to hone in on those wins. And yes, the failures, but not to focus on the failures, to learn from them, to grow from them, to know, okay, I failed in this area on this trip, this next trip, now I know what I can focus on and how I can improve so that when I come home, I don't feel like shit, and I can jump back into those processes that we have in place for a reason and get back to my routine. It's not the end of the world. That's what I've learned. Like if I'm on a work trip, I can't track perfectly. It's not the end of the world. I'm not going to die. We know that we're an athlete, right? We have these systems in place. So when I get home, jump back into my routines, get back on the wagon, it's progress lost.
Well, and I think too, I actually, where did I read this? I'm in my reading era right now. It's a great thing. I'm like flying through books that I've never read in my life. I don't even know what's happening to me. I'm like diseased. But no, one of the things that I read recently from one of the books that I was reading, was how high performers, they sometimes they become high performers not because they felt like once they reached X, Y, and Z goal. Actually, let me backtrack. It's not about becoming a high performer. There's a lot of us that feel that we'll sabotage ourselves in the process of reaching a goal because subconsciously, this is not always a conscious thing, we feel like once we reach that goal, there's nothing after it. And so we will actually keep ourselves from reaching it because we don't like the notion of finality or something ending. And so I can think back to many times in my life where that's probably been the circumstance and I wasn't even consciously aware of it. And so the book goes on to talk about how we have to stop thinking of almost like operating for the outcome. And instead, what we need to start chasing is the behavior and improving on the behaviors that we do to get to the outcome. Because we're never actually going to reach the outcome, right? There's the bar is always going to be set higher. And if you stop chasing that goal, you also stop sabotaging yourself. It's not that the goal isn't still there, right? The goal is still there for us. You still want to get on stage, you still want a pro card. But instead of being so outcome driven, we've shifted to being more behavior driven. And I think what that's done is it's brought you presently back here in the moment. And it's kept you from getting handicapped and stifled in the process. It's no different than why I get people on discovery calls and I tell them about the initial protocols I'm going to write for them. And the initial protocols that I produce for everybody has phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four, because anybody can get on a call with me and say, I want to be an IFBB pro, and I'm all for it. But are you aware of all the things that we have to do to get there? And that is where the real magic is going to happen.
Right.
Like, after all, nobody actually enjoys getting the goal. The enjoyment truly happened. Like when I think back to my pro card literally sat in my closet for a year before I got it hung up on the wall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like the pro card is not the big deal.
Yeah.
Right? When I look back on that journey, when I talk about that journey, and when there's passion in my voice, it's about all the shit that I did to get there. So when we're talking about reflecting and looking back on our progress, you know, take yourself out of the situation and stop being so emotionally driven, right? Like think about your week, for example, as a case study. Look back at your week and think, okay, you know, what went well? What didn't go well, right? This is like looking at KPIs for a like a marketing plan or in your career. What are your pain points? What surprised you, right? My dad is a avid camper. He's like this old man, and he's got this little camping, this little pop-up camper, and he goes all around the US on these KOAs. And we bought him last year this like little journal that he can go in. And it's so funny because when he first started going on these camping trips, you'd read his logs, and he's like, "Well, I forgot toilet paper, and I like need to bring a grill and I need propane," and like, you know, all the things that he probably looks back on now and he's like, I can't believe I forgot that stuff. But notice how even in like reflecting there, it that's how he got better was he didn't just finish camping trip number one and say, oh, well, that was a wash. I had to go to McDonald's. Well, won't do that again. Instead, it was, I need to bring the propane. I need to get the grill, right? So he can enhance his craft, so he can grow, so he can become a better student of his own game. And that's what this is all about. Anything to add to that?
Yeah, and that remind it just it, I instantly went to my first last season, my first season competing, and I did three shows, and my first show, not a clue what I was doing, not a single clue. I didn't know the right things to bring to the show on show day. I didn't know, I forgot my scale at home. It was I had to travel to the show, things like that. My third show, I had gotten those things down, and I had looked at. I met this one really sweet girl. It was her first show, and she had forgotten a lot of the things I forgot. And we were just kind of, I was like, I was just like you, like literally last month, girlfriend. Like, I, because she was stressing out that she forgot all this stuff. And I was like, I've learned so much just in this one month that I've been, on the stage this past month, three times in a month. And it's just so funny that because you have to go through the shit to get to the goal. It's not a perfect journey. It's not linear. It's sometimes it looks a lot like this, I mean, up and down. And as long as you learn something from every failure, every win, and you're still progressing forward, I mean, chalk that up as a full win right there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that for, listeners that are listening to this, key takeaway from this segment right here is, and all of the little narratives that you and I have shared and little personal anecdotes here, stop trying to control the outcome, right? Stop trying to think about, stop getting fixated on the visualization of getting handed a pro card at your first national show. I hope it for you it happens, right? But stop trying to control getting in every single workout while you're in New York City on a work trip and you know that your schedule is packed from sunup to sundown. Instead, think about behaviors. Okay. Am I getting in my cardio every single day if I want this pro card? Am I tracking my macros every single day? These are things that you can control. You cannot control the outcome. What if you get to New York City and there's a weather issue and you can't get out of your hotel? Now, because you're so fixated on the outcome, you're immediately let down. And guess who holds on to that guilt? You do. But instead, if what you controlled was your behavior, you could think outside the box and go, you know what? I can get some body weight squats in. I can prop my leg up on the desk and do some Bulgarians, right? Like you will find a way to get something in.
Yeah, 100%. And for a perfect example, in my New York trip when I was there for a full 7 days, the gym, I had researched the hotel before. I knew I'd been there before. I knew the gym was awesome. 2 of the days the gym was closed for construction. I don't even know what they were doing. And so I was like, well, shit, now what am I gonna do? So I did, I will admit, take a second to be like, shit, like this sucks. But I actually found a hotel right next door. And they let me into their gym. I just walked over and was like, "Can I use your gym? I'm staying across the street." And they were totally open to it. Let me in for 2 days. So old me would have just like shut down and been like, "Well, shit, I guess I can't work out today, whatever." But now,
And see how your mind immediately went to problem solve, right? Instead of panic. So let's talk about this might be a little bit of a pain point for us, but I think that it's important. And well, it's I don't think it's a pain point anymore, actually. I think that the moment that we had this conversation, it was kind of one of those oh no moments. But then once we talked about it, I could see gears start to turn and you start to shift. I certainly have been here too, so you're not alone in this. But I want to talk really about we recently made the decision to push your show. And I want to talk about how we reframe that in a more positive light because we had decided to push the show in light of protecting truly your bigger vision. I know there are so many athletes out there That I actually had one the other day who's like in the middle of absolute chaos. And she's like, I just feel like if my macros were a little bit lower, it would give me something to focus on. And I was like, not the time.
No.
The temptation to lock in a show date, and I think that that's what it was all about for you in that moment, or a finish line. It's so real. We all want something to grab onto, especially for high achievers, right? You are numbers driven. It feels concrete. It gives us something to chase. But sometimes the timeline we pick isn't actually aligned with what our life, our health, or our headspace needs. And when you're not ready, whether that's physically, emotionally, or even logistically, pushing towards that goal can backfire, especially if there's warning signs that are already on the table, right? We burn out, we underdeliver, we finish, but we feel disconnected from the win. That is so totally happened to me before. And so I wanted to protect us in that moment and sort of start to kind of like guide us towards pushing our goal back and reframing that from a failure or quitting to instead preserving a version of you that's ready to rise, but when the time is right. So, for you, Haley, what did that mean, and how did it feel to release the pressure of a 2025 show?
Oh, that was a big decision for me. And to be honest, until you had suggested it or brought it up, I hadn't even didn't even cross my mind because I was so focused on in my head, I already had 2025 show dates, like August, September, October. Like I was looking at shows, I was ready, I was gonna compete. I hadn't looked at whether it would serve me best to compete this year or wait a little bit. And no one likes to be told, hey, I think it'll be better if you wait for something that you're so excited for and you're really looking forward to. But as soon as you suggested that, I took a couple of days and reflected on it, and it really was the best decision for me because I could not even imagine I would have to be in prep right now. And with this season of my life and work and the summer and all of these things, it would not be a sustainable prep for me, and it wouldn't be a successful prep for me. And coming off of my first season, we've talked about how I had high expectations for my first season, not just placing wise, but just the whole overall experience. And I didn't really get what I wanted out of that season. I was so looking forward to the season because I wanted to get what I didn't get out of the first season. So I was just so excited to get, nose to the ground and get going. But we had talked about it, and if we had decided to move forward, it would not serve me best. I would not have the best prep. I would not probably have the best stage presence. So it just made sense to push it out, wait, continue building in this phase. So that way, when the time does come and it's my time, we can come at it guns blazing, 100% balls to the wall, and no holds barred, not looking back. Like I'll know that I've done everything we can to get me on that stage to win, to get to a national show, ultimately pro card, the whole shebang.
And I think too, like, Haley, I want to emphasize that this was not a decision of delaying something that you were ready for. This was instead an affirming moment of you really leveling up. In the last 5 to 6 months of working with you, you have really had to strengthen that line of communication with yourself, right? That like me versus me, I'm talking to myself, I'm communicating with my body, I am one with my body, and really working on tapping into what your body needs instead of what your ego wants. And I think that this was just you putting all of those lessons really into practice right here. There's like a thing that I feel that I do a lot, and I'm a very urgent person. I'm a very like, I gotta act on this now. I'm not the girl that leaves shit in my shopping cart and lets it sit there. Like, if I want something, I just purchase it. I just do it. I was hanging out with Alexis Soter this past weekend, and I came out to the kitchen. We had like 10 minutes before dinner. And I'm notorious for returns. Anybody on this podcast who has like heard me speak, I literally go to UPS, the post office, or FedEx every single day and return something. And I'm really working on not doing that because they know me there now. And so I came into the kitchen with my laptop, and I had like five pairs of shoes in my cart, literally five pairs. And I was like, Alexa, which ones do you like? She was like, oh, I like that one. I like that one. She's like, honestly, I like all of them. I said, fine, okay. I purchased them. And then I go, Alexa, I go, you weren't supposed to allow me to do that. And she's like, well, you liked all them. She's like, we know that you're
Return
gonna return them.
them.
And I'm an urgent person, and I'm really working on trading urgency for what is truly aligned. Because when we're acting in an urgent state, it's no different than like acting on emotion. You're also probably not acting in an aligned state.
Yeah. And yeah, that really resonates with me, especially now. I mean, I feel like mentally I've come a long way just in the 6 months that we started working together.
Oh, you have.
Yeah, and I don't know. I there's so much more for me to learn, and I'm excited to learn more about it, but I'm proud of how far we've come and all the things that we've learned, and making that decision to step back, push it out until spring of 26, which right now, of course, feels like forever away, but it's going to be here before we know it. I mean, we're going to be in prep before we know it.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to be intentional with this time that we have, this extra time that we have, really trying to get my lifts in, solid lifts every day, hit my macros, do all the things that are necessary, get that W, get that win.
Yeah. And I think your mindset here has really shifted from I have to do this now and I'm behind if I don't, which is urgent, to is this the decision that is servicing my values, my health, my relationships, and the long-term version of success that I want? Certainly, it's not easy. Right? Especially when you're wired to check boxes or when you're wired to hit milestones, when you're wired to execute, again, high performers. But this is where the deepest growth happens. And Haley, something that you and I have talked about, to great lengths is that we don't want a win to come at the expense of your foundation, nor do you want to give up what could be a really, really incredible package for us just by delaying that a little bit. And this
Right.
also prevents that, if we force something right now, we then can fall back into the trap of the dichotomy of I hate my job or I hate bodybuilding. And that comes when we force things on a timeline.
Yeah. And just even now, I'm just like so relieved that we pushed it out, because there's just so much happening in life right now that a prep, I just could not sustain a successful prep. I mean, I could go through prep, I'd be miserable, I'd be hating life. It would not be the prep that we would want to, and see that end goal, keep my sights on that end goal. I would just be hating every day. So I'm really happy with the decision that we made, and I'm just so pumped for the package that we're going to be bringing 26. They are not ready. Let me just say,
They are not.
they
They
are
are
not
not.
ready for what's
Not
coming.
one bit. No, I mean, the mental package, too. And when you have that confidence, too, to back it up, it's like you can't even control that energy on stage. It just radiates from athletes.
Yeah.
I think the most beautiful thing that you articulated as you were talking just now about your off season and how intentional you plan on and truly are so far, it's that you don't need to be in a prep to be in pursuit. Right? Prep is certainly not when progress is happening. If anything, deepest progress is happening in the
Right
season that
now.
you're in. When you're not chasing a stage date, you're building food resiliency, you're finding balance with travel, you're working on digestion, hormone regulation, recovery, you're lifting with purpose without that pressure of depletion. This is when systems are cleaned, muscles are built, and habits are really tested. And it's where you identify as an athlete. And where that self identity is really forged, not just as a competitor, but as a high standard human. We are as athletes always in season. And just because you're not stage lean doesn't mean we're not making progress. We're refining, we're building, we're preparing for a version of success that's actually sustainable when we are not in a season. And we've also done tons of podcasts on that too. So hopefully if any of our listeners are interested in that, they'll go check those out. But Haley, what are any final thoughts that you could share with our audience? Maybe something that you wished you would have embraced sooner. Probably something you're grateful you've embraced now, but
Oh man, I am super grateful that I've embraced just the chaos of things because and just rolling with the punches. That is not something I'm very type A, as we know. So rolling with the punches is not something I was comfortable with. Hated it, to be honest. So I'm super grateful now that I mean I'm still learning how to do that every day. Sometimes it's still a struggle. Got to remind myself to like, okay, what can you control? Control what you can control. I'm super grateful for that. I would just, if I could go back and like to when I was first starting this bodybuilding journey and tell myself one thing, it would be to just control what you can, put your head down, do the work, don't stress yourself out too much about it, set up those successful processes, have those in place to fall back on so that when you fall off, you can get right back on, no problem.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I wish that we would have learned, I would have learned that myself sooner too. You know,
Oh, yeah.
I think as we close out here, something I would love to share with our listeners is that it's not about waiting for life to settle. Instead, it's about settling into your life. You know, whether you're a mom, whether you're an athlete, whether you're someone who's just navigating a lot, this work still applies. Haley, I want to thank you so much for your precious time tonight and for getting on this podcast before you fly out to go be with family this weekend. I'll be waiting for your check-in tomorrow morning.
Yes, tomorrow morning, bright and early.
Yes, ma'am. If you're interested in working with us one-on-one, the link is down below in the description to apply for coaching. Haley's Instagram is also down there if you want to go ahead and reach out to her on Instagram and connect to with just a wonderful, wonderful person. Remember, the most powerful shift that you guys can make is not in your calendar, but it's in your mindset. You definitely don't need a quieter life to live with intention. You just need to stop waiting for the noise to die down before you decide that you're worth prioritizing. The version of you who knows how to pivot, how to reflect, and how to stay committed even when things feel uncertain, that is the version who wins long term. That's the version that we're proud to coach and grow alongside. So, listeners, thank you for tuning in tonight and for choosing yourself. Remember to be kind to one another and don't forget to include yourself in the mix. We'll catch you next time on the Psyche Behind the Physique.